accession number 19795, reel 3.
You seem to be saying that spiritual resistance was just as important for survival as the physical side of things.
Yes. Well, you have to keep your spirit up. There was always talk about possibilities of running away or doing things or preparing what we do if we will be liberated. That kept the hope and your spirit up. Eventually, when the Russians were coming near, they again evacuated us through Sachsenhausen to Buchenwald. In Buchenwald, the conditions were much better. We were working in a munition factory. And we were working with German Meisters, so we didn't have flies, we were fed better. But before going to, in the transport, when we arrived in Sachsenhausen, the people in the first of the column had the duty, prisoners, to go in and check the windows. And for instance, if the room was low and the windows were isolated, we knew there would be gassing going on. We were afraid of being killed. Luckily, the first column said, it's all right, because otherwise the end of the column could go and start a fight without nothing but for the SS. But it didn't happen. Somehow they needed us to work for them. And we did work eventually till the Americans liberated us.
What kind of work were you doing in Buchenwald?
In Buchenwald, the Germans made a munition factory in an old salt mine. And we were making the pumps for wheels of aeroplanes. And even down there, I think just before Christmas in 44, I noticed in my coat there's something in it, and eventually discovered a gold chain for a watch, a men's chain. So I got, for that, from the German Meister, I got two bread and a packet of tobacco. I never had such a wonderful Christmas, which I shared with my friends. And we were not hungry that day.
Did you get any sense when you were in Buchenwald that of the state of the war, that the war was ending?
Somehow we always were quite well informed. Often either some of the prisoners met somebody and we were informed how the war is going on. Of course, we were waiting for the end. And that put our spirit up. And if in Birkenau somebody escaped and they didn't caught him, in 43, they would bring the parents and their brothers and sisters to Birkenau, And it, coming to the camp, we would see, and there would be written, these are the parents of brother and sister of so-and-so who escaped last month. So that stopped a lot of people from escaping. Because people who had their parents out, like I did, I was very lucky that they are not in the prison. Eventually, when the war came near to the end, and we could hear the artillery from a distance, the Germans again tried to evacuate us. I don't know, they were chasing us, marching us somewhere. At the end of the column went SS with a wider sort of field, so a lot of people tried to escape. But if they were talk, with the artillery being heard, they still were killing us. Again, it's the discipline of the SS, the German nation, to obey, practically knowing that they are losing the war. Nobody could understand of us.
So how did liberation come for you, Alex? Could you describe that in some detail? We've just got 5 minutes. 4 minutes. I think we'll just change tapes here.
Change the thing.
Yes. That scene that you've just mentioned of Mengele coming to the hospital to select people. Just do that. But then I'll ask you about your liberation.
Yes.
All right. So could you describe to us the scene of Mengele coming to the hospital to choose people?
Yes. Dr. Mengele quite often came to our hospital looking for subject for his experiments. I remember him very smart, very polite, very correct, handsome, and usually younger prisoners were taken out. Twins, he had a phobia about twins, any age of twins, he would take to out of the of our barracks. He was not doing any experiments in Birkenau hospital. He had his own section for it. When the artillery was heard, and in the we were liberated by American troops. In the first soldiers that liberated us, quite a lot of them were from Polish stock. They spoke Polish with a sort of simple peasant accent. And they just say, shoot any of these guards, which they caught, if you want to. Some of the guards were quite decent, but older prisoners said, you didn't know him in 1943 in Dachau or in other camps. So, shooting them with our mentality, trained by more or less German brutality, was too simple. We line them up. And in 1 hour intervals, they had to hang each other. The worst one was at the end of the queue. I didn't watch it. I didn't want to lose that little bit of humanity I still had in me. And if you lose that, you never know what happens inside you.
But could you understand the actions of the people who wanted to do that to the SS guards?
Yes. I could understand my fellow prisoners. It was really a German way. We prosecuted became like the prosecutor. And a lot of people who looked at it understood, some didn't. I come now in England often questions which I understand but surprise me. Today, if some people discover that I was in Auschwitz-Birkenau, some of them say, is it true? This gas chamber, is it true? Did it really happen? I wait a minute and said, yes, politely. If my answer would be abrupt, it would be a very rude one. For instance, when I was visiting Birkenau, a young German comes to me and says, how do you know these were gas chambers? It could have been a washroom, bakeries with the chimney. I said, dear man, he was a young German, I knew why he was asked this question, because he was told by his grandfather that he didn't know anything, and if it's true, it probably didn't happen. So I told this young man, for 2 years, people keep on going in and in and in, and nobody came out. That's how I know for certainty there were gas chambers.
Alex, can I take you back to the end of the war? And can you describe to me in a little more detail your first sight of the American soldiers and your first contact with them?
When the American soldiers came, chewing gum, jolly, some Negroes, I never seen Negroes. I never seen a Negro in my life, first time. So I looked at the hands black, surprising, but nice. And giving us food, giving us a machine gun, going to a German farmer and killing the pigs with the machine gun. Luckily, we were in a civil workers, Polish civil workers camp, and the woman wouldn't allow us to eat anything strong, but food rather like for children. Because there were some prisoners, if they ate a lot, they simply died. They couldn't survive. What I enjoyed most was loneliness. I could be alone. For 2 years, I was all the time with other people. And when you are so much with other people, you long for to be alone. That I enjoyed very much. And not being told things I could do. I could sit, I could walk when I wanted, I could sleep when I wanted. The simplest things in life are the most enjoyable, not luxuries. And still, now, where I could afford luxuries, I still like to be alone with a book, with my thoughts, listening to music. Television annoys me often. Only program that I really enjoy, historical one, geographical, animals. Love animals. Got a cat which I practically can talk to. I think because you saw the cruelty of people for people, I still don't trust people. We are very suspicious of people. Still now. What will he do? Is he going? Simple quarrels, in my eyes, becomes a life and death. But financial problems and other little problems, it's nothing. I can be depressed more from if my shoes are leaking. I am cold. I remember now that most suffering was from cold. Because in Birkenau, from the morning till the end, you are cold, cold, cold. And still, I still suffer from that. Morally and physically, if I am cold, I go to pieces. But in England, I do enjoy my life. I think English people are the most tolerant of the nation I met. I've got friends in Canada, New Zealand, Argentina, all over the place. In Germany, I couldn't settle. I still get frightened when a man talks too loudly in German. And England somehow was the best place to settle. I got a grant, I've been educated, started my own business, brought up 3 sons. When there is a football match between Poland and England, myself and my wife, we are on the side of Poland. My boys are on the side of English team. So you can imagine the discussion at home we have. But I'm very happy here. As life goes on.
Why do you think it's important that the story is told today, particularly that young people know about it?
To talk about my experiences brings up memories which I don't like. But when I was asked to take part in this program, I know it is my duty for those people who gone and whom I seen gone to the gas chamber and who didn't survive. And people should be warned that we today can do it to each other. And I don't know what. Education is not the answer. Because the Germans that did it were very well educated. And there was so much support from the educated, very civilized people of Goethe, Mozart, Beethoven, could create. We had to be on guard. With a little bit, be careful of little bit, because it becomes bigger, bigger, and then we enjoy it. There is more hatred in humans than love for each other. That, looking at history, we are sure of. It could be, should be sure of. Mengele. Mengele often came to our hospital to look for subject for his experiment. Mengele had a fascination about twins, and he experimenting on them, different method on one and the other for his doings. He took the twins somewhere else. He didn't do any experiments in our hospitals.